B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Air sent me the fine video of it. I got there. It took me like 45 minutes to get there from the auto show in Center City.
Wow.
45 minutes. I couldn't believe it. And Devon was kind enough to record it for us. We have the intros for you to play a little bit later. But I think the best way to describe it is a smattering of booze. And it wasn't anything. Like, if any other athlete, as we've been saying all week, if any other athlete came out and said what Joel Embiid said or did what Joel Embiid did, I'm not even kidding. It would be a boo you when you touch the ball situation. For Embiid, it was a smattering of boos on intro, and after that, it was nothing but winning the crowd over and everybody loving on the guy. Even to the point where, in the third quarter, as he walked off the court, a trust the process chant rang out from the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
While he was the orchestrator, while he was the conductor of it, if you will. Ben Simmons was getting the crowd into it. You had those two guys looking like they were very much on the same page during the pace of play. And then just from an X's and O's standpoint, you had Al Horford coming off the bench, which looked like to me you saw a Sixers offense play with the most fluid, the best motion we have seen in that. The best flow we've seen the Sixers offense had was last night in the early goings of that game, and then also to close it out. Everybody was moving. The spacing looked like it was great. Everyone seemed like they had a freedom on the court.
It seemed like what Brett Brown has preached kind of came to fruition last night. If you watch it, look how many decisions were made within that 0.5, 1 second of catching a ball. It was either somebody caught the ball and passed it, somebody caught the ball and made a move, somebody caught the ball and shot it. You know, it wasn't, even Embiid, more than once, he would catch the ball. If the double came, he stepped towards it and passed the ball, right? Another time he catches it, he turns, straight up, jump shot. He did that a few times. They made quick decisions last night, and they're so talented offensively that when they're making quick decisions, that when defenses are on their heels, good things are going to happen, and that's exactly what they did last night.
That was a big thing that mattered, and then there's no more question. Josh Richardson is 100%. In the two previous games that he played, where he came off the bench, right, coming back from the hamstring injury, he ran the length of the court, full sprint, full go, even got a flagrant one on one of the situations. Last night he came out, started, played great, and closed out the game.
Yeah.
Like, I know Lou Williams was suited up and playing for the Clippers. He's been there for a long time. Josh Richardson last night reminded me offensively, just offensively. I mean, he played great defense too, but offensively reminded me of Lou Williams. Like, quick to the rim, not afraid to pull up and shoot, not afraid to break a guy down off the dribble, and there was no better example of that than taking Kawhi Leonard to the hole for the N1 late in that fourth quarter.
And he had a horrible call against him late in the game, too, where he came to a jump stop and had a layup, and they caught a walk.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
I don't know who
that is. A just a typical NBA move where you have that dribble, it's a step to the jump stop, and then right up in the air. I don't know where they were coming from with that.
I don't know who the official was last night. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody told me that it was his first game ever.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Number 46.
Did you see the strip that Embiid had in the lane that they called a foul the one time?
On Kawhi when he fell?
It was the big guy. What's his name?
Zubac?
Zubac. He put a dribble down. Embiid reaches in. Like, Embiid's, so his back is to the basket, and Embiid's more towards the foul line. He puts the ball on the floor once. Embiid just strips it from him. Doesn't even come near to touching him, and a foul's called. Like, it had no effect on the, it was so weird. I agree with you, Mark. There was some very phantom calls last night.
There are bad calls, but then there was also, the thing you can never do as a referee is be hesitant. Mm-hmm. And there was one or two times where I'm watching, I don't know who it was, number 46, he was extremely hesitant in making calls.
Like when a shot went up?
Yeah. And it wasn't a delayed call. It was, the whistle sounded, and then there was a moment of like, wait, what are you calling? And then a couple of different hand gestures, and then the call.
Yeah.
Like, it was two different occasions that happened last night. One of them was the Kawhi Leonard play, where Joel Embiid was just standing in the lane, and it looked like Marcus Morris pushed Kawhi Leonard from behind, or pushed Joel Embiid from behind, which made a little bit of contact to Kawhi as he started to go to the rim, and then they called the foul on Joel. And there's barely any contact anyway.
Yeah.
And that was a call where I looked at the ref, and I was like, wait, what's the call here? And then he looked like he didn't even know.
Yeah.
Like, he looked scared of the moment.
It's so what they're taught is that if there's a play by the basket and there's contact what you think or it's questionable, you wait to the end result of the play and then decide to blow the whistle or not. Meaning, all right, there was some contact there. I could let it go. He made the basket. I'll let it go. He missed the basket. It affected the play. I have to make the call. This guy looked like instead of waiting, he blew the whistle first. And then waited to see what happened with the play, and then was like, oh, shoot, I already blew the whistle. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
He did not look comfortable.
Not
a little bit. And then also, it's good to point this out, too. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, as you would assume, he got his. It felt like a quiet 30, if that's such a thing, but it felt like a quiet 30 for him. And then Paul George, he played last night, right?
He sucked.
He was there.
He was terrible last night.
He was bad everywhere.
I loved seeing this. And by the way, you're listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. But he just never looked like he settled in.
Well, that's another effect that Josh Richardson in the starting lineup has. Mm. You know, he and Ben Simmons, those big guys out on the wing, out on the perimeter, that affects guys. And Paul George didn't get a lot of good looks last night.
Not even a little.
And he didn't get any calls either.
No, and when he was trying to break guys down off the dribble, he would lose his handle, it seemed like.
Yeah.
He just did not seem like the type. And a lot of that goes, credit to the Sixers for their defense and how they played in that game, because overall it was just great. But I think the number one thing people will take away from this game is that it's not that Joel played great. Forget the drama off the court about the social media posts, whatever it might be. But the number one thing is whether or not this team can sustain it with this new lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think this is just a one-and-done thing for Brett Brown. I think that he and the team have figured something out. I got the feeling from talking to guys in the locker room after the game that this is just a much more comfortable version of basketball for these guys. And I think when you come back from the All-Star break, Al Horford's going to be back on the bench, and that's fine. And I think you're going to see a guy like Glenn Robinson III be your three. I think you're going to have Tobias Harris playing the four. I think JoJo obviously be at the center position. But I think you're going to have Josh Richardson and Ben Simmons, you know, controlling the basketball for most of it. And then you're going to have Glenn Robinson III as your three. And then you're going to have Tobias Harris as your four and JoJo as your five. And I think going forward, that makes your starting five better. I think that makes your spacing better. And then ultimately what it does is, remember that problem they had in the playoffs last year with no bench?
Mm-hmm.
James Ennis was the hero of your bench last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This year you're going to have a couple of different guys coming off that bench to not only give you offense late, like Alec Burks, for instance, but also give you defense late, like a guy like Al Horford, who still played 28 minutes despite coming off the bench.
Yeah, I love the mix that you could have with that second unit. As I said before, if you're going to have, you know, shooters on that second unit, whether Furkan Korkmaz, who probably isn't your best defender. Okay, well, if he's going to be on your second unit, you can pair him with a Matisse Thybulle, who is a phenomenal defender. That's a nice little give and take that you have right there. And Horford adding to that. And now Alec Burks. Like, they have some really neat things that Brett Brown can play with off of this bench now.
Yeah, Matisse Thybulle, too. That the one of the plays that's not going to get a lot of highlight today is his closeout of, was it Kawhi on the perimeter? Like, I was focusing on the block. Oh, Shamet. Shamet.
Yeah.
I'm convinced Landry Shamet's like 43 years old.
He does look a little old for his age.
He's older than Furkan.
Yeah,
we all remember.
He's got an old face and head.
And hairstyle, too.
Yeah. Just,
he's aging.
See ya. Glad we got rid of your old head ass.
I don't know. I was missing
out. He's pretty good.
Why are you off the bench right now? Because he's the enemy now. Screw him. Head.
I don't disagree with you.
All right.
So it's just his head?
Yeah, he just looks old.
His Benjamin Button head?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like looking at it. Old head ass. He can shoot, though.
He can definitely shoot.
In the NBA Finals, when the Sixers are playing the Clippers.
Yeah.
And Kawhi comes here with Landry Shamet and wear a jersey, an old Sixers Shamet jersey that says old head ass on the back. We'll really get in his head.
Does Kawhi charge up like a USB port on the team flights? Is that how he gets ready to go?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I do.
Eats batteries.
Yeah.
Eats batteries like they're peanuts.
Yeah. You guys want a 9-volt? All right. Delicious.
So Matisse Thybulle's on the block last night. Landry Shamet's in the corner, waiting to shoot a three. Gets the ball in the corner, and I don't know how it happened. It was something that defied logic and science and the laws of physics. Landry Shamet's ready to shoot the three, and all of a sudden Matisse Thybulle appeared 3 feet in the air higher than Landry Shamet and just sent it into the stands.
Like, yeah.
That kid, like, kid, he plays like he's a 40-year-old man, like, just has great instincts, and he has every ounce of athletic ability to go along with those instincts, and you add those two together, that is a force defensively at that young age, this inexperience at the NBA level. That play summed it up last night. That closeout he had on Landry Shamet was to perfection, executed to perfection. I love seeing it last night. And to have that off the bench as well as Al Horford and the offensive power you can get from a guy like Alec Burks, yeah, this team's going to be all right.
I think so. I think so. And you know, not overreacting to one game or anything like that. But as I pointed out earlier, there wasn't anything over-the-top outstanding last night that they had to hold on to win the game. It was kind of just, okay, this is the blueprint of how this team should have been. They followed it, they played it, and this is what happens. You beat one of the best teams, if not the best team, in the league by playing that way. Sustainability is what you've talked about, Mark and Trey, and that's exactly what you have to look for now.
See, I don't want to take the bait because we've seen the Sixers play this well in the past, and then it goes away. And the number one person we say that about is Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
So although this was a great game by him and really just by the team in general, like, nobody ridiculously stood out. Like, I wouldn't, like, this wasn't the Joel Embiid game or the Ben Simmons game or, as we've experienced in the two previous, the Furkan games, right? Everybody played great in this game.
Except for Furkan.
But thank you. Yeah, the one guy that, yeah. But everybody, they have to sustain this as a team. I don't doubt Ben Simmons can do this again. I don't doubt Al Horford's going to be a better option off the bench. I don't doubt that Glenn Robinson III is going to be just fine as in his starter role here in Philly. He started every game he played out in Golden State this year. The only guy I question is Joel Embiid because his motivation is so flighty. I have never seen an athlete this flighty in getting themselves motivated.
And you need him to play motivated because he's the spark plug of this team.
Yeah, I mean, really, you're talking about an MVP candidate that goes from an MVP candidate to just, you know, just an all-star. Mm-hmm. When you have the ability to play that much better, play that much better.
Yeah.
It was good to see him motivated last night. I have no doubt in my mind that his Twitter conversation and his firestorm that he started absolutely was the motivation behind how well he played last night. Is that a good thing? No, it seems really weird. But hey, man, whatever it takes. Like when he shushed us all. And then, by the way, last night also admitted to shushing the crowd. Okay, let's not forget that. And we'll play that for you a little bit later. I have no doubt in my mind that that guy used that as motivation to play as well as he did last night. The fact that he had a nice little back and forth with some fans. The fact that he did hear a smattering or two of boos. Maybe he saw the jersey, Jamie, that you you pointed out earlier. The kid in bum.
It said trade in bum.
Trade in bum.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe that was motivation too.
I'm sure there's some Wells Fargo security that listens to the show. Don't let him in.
That reminds me.
Just turn him away.
That reminds me.
Yeah.
You didn't last night, but you almost.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I almost took a fall.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Oh, my God. What the hell is wrong with you?
Wait, I want to hear it.
He kept his feet.
I was fine. There was no real stumble, but there was a table drape hanging pretty far, and I caught it, and disaster was avoided. But something about being around Trey makes me fall.
Did you have a drink in your hand that there was spillage?
Damn right I did.
You did it with
an Amstel Light.
If he would have failed this time, he probably would have needed stitches.
Yeah. The whole table would have gone down. It would have been a disaster.
So, golf, you fell down a hill.
Just would have rolled him right on out of there. Let's just go, man.
There's no coming back from that one.
Yeah. Golf fell down a hill.
Golf twice now.
No, just the once.
I thought you did it again when we weren't with you. I thought you did it with friends recently.
Oh, I did, yeah. It was rainy and muddy out. That was more circumstantial. Uh-huh.
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse was another. That was bad.
Yeah. And then,
lacrosse one was the greatest.
A high top table with an oversized tablecloth.
Obnoxiously sized tablecloth.
Yeah, it was like an evening gown hanging off a table.
Well, it wasn't fair.
It was a tablecloth.
Now, is Trey setting me up? Is he like pulling turf up on the field? Is he pulling the table drapes down? Trey, are you behind this?
Trey brings vet turf around wherever he goes just to make you trip up. But there was one point where you were double fisting.
Yeah, and I went, I probably shouldn't be double-fisting here and looking like an animal.
This is a company party, kind of. I better put this down. 610-632-0975, because Trey actually got you the second beer.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm going up. And you're like, yeah, I'll take one. And then we started making our rounds to get our free swag bag. It's a good time. 610-632-0975. Coming up, I'm sorry, Bob.
Sorry.
I'm sorry that you love your family.
No, is that such a bad thing? I had something to do. I had to take care of something. I, you know, friends.
I'll give you one of my AirPods.
No, that's all right.
I'll give you one of them.
No, I wouldn't know how to use it. I'm the boomer, remember? Probably stick on my foot.
Self-loathing.
No, that's cool.
Coming up, we'll hear from Landry Shamet. Time of the Fanatic, 8:14.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And we'll be hearing from Tobias Harris a little bit later in this hour, probably closer to 8:50 when we come back before the top of the hour. We'll let you hear from Tobias Harris, our conversation last night with him. Around 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Devon Gibbons here on 97.5 The Fanatic. By the way, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Did we ever doubt that Joel Embiid would be smiling again with the crowd? At some point, it was going to happen. Yeah. He wasn't going to get traded tomorrow. I mean, he wasn't going to sit out. Like, he was going to play again, and at some point, he'd have that crowd rocking again. And sure enough, he did last night. So after he did that, he did his post-game interview with TNT, and he got asked about his tweet about living, you know, live long as a hero or you die, become a villain, whatever this quote is. Remember the quote, Trey?
Yes.
All right, what is it?
So what now?
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
So he gets asked about that fine quote.
No, I don't remember it.
Neither did I. It's one of them. But he gets asked about that that tweet after the game last night. Take a listen.
The only natural first question for you, are you the hero or the villain tonight?
I'm always going to be both. You know, I start with my city. I love my city. You know, they've shown me a lot of love since I've been here. So, you know, we go through up and downs, and, you know, we learn from it, you know. So there's nothing more. We just, you know, playing with each other, just having fun. Like I said, I'm back to being a good sorry for cussing. But, you know, I'm just going to do my thing.
I couldn't see. Somebody came over and, like, ruffled his hair. Like, patted his head as he was saying, sorry for cursing. I couldn't see who it was. I just saw a hand come into the frame. Mm. But, like, it's weird that a guy needs that motivation. And I have no doubt in my mind, a guy this talented shouldn't need it, but he absolutely needs this kind of weird motivation. He needs something extra. It's almost like someone who can't just watch a sporting event without betting on it. Like, oh, I need a little action in it. Like, that's not that weird. This is really weird. I'm not just calling you out. I know
a couple games I watch without betting on.
XFL. So, like,
no, I bet on those.
How long was that cut you just played?
40 seconds?
37 seconds.
12 times he said either I or me or my.
Yes, he is a me guy.
Yeah, like, and look, we're nitpicking, having fun with it. And hey, Joe, I'm having fun right back at you, buddy.
You're nitpicking.
But, you know, it's you wonder, we called it the eye roll the other day.
Yeah.
I wonder how his teammates feel about it. Oh, here we go again. He just needs to be him, huh? Well, who's stopping you?
Okay, well, let me ask you.
Who's stopping you from being you?
So, why did you eye roll, Bob?
I need to be me.
Because I'm kind of just getting tired of hearing it. Like, I'm getting tired of the, as I stated before, and Trey pointed out, yeah, he did something else again to get himself motivated, and he had a great game last night, and Trey so greatly put it a couple weeks ago, oh, the mama mentality, let's see how long it lasts. It lasts one game. Like, does he have to continually do this is one thing, and my other is, if you're going to be one of the greatest players ever, then you have to practice like one of the greatest players ever. And how do you self-motivate yourself to practice if you need to do this for games? Is he improving himself? Look, I've been in a gym where Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and all those guys are practicing. Man, it's something to watch. Like, these guys are going at it. It's not like, I'm here because I have to be here on a Wednesday morning. Can't wait to go home and eat. Like, right. Those guys are getting something out of each and every practice session that they are. Is he? And that's, you know, that's when he becomes great. This motivational thing, okay, but what's motivating him getting to the court for 2 hours on a weekday morning? Is it there?
All right, so that's
just a concern. I'm not overly crazy, man.
I rolled my eyes for a different reason then. I rolled my eyes and went, whatever, because I thought of whatever you need, dude. The shushing and the shut the bleep up. Whatever you need. If you need us to be the heel for you to feel like you can later vindicate yourself, fine. Whatever gets you to the level of play that you had last night. And it's the weirdest thing, and I've never seen an athlete this odd in finding motivation, but he is that guy. He needs to find that extra drama. You know what he needs? He needs the storyline. He can't just have the game. He needs the storyline, too. He can't just have the X's and O's. He can't just have shoot a couple threes, whatever it might be. He's a guy that needs to go out there and have a storyline along with it. He's a showman, is what he is.
Yeah, but what's going to be your next thing? Because you can't you're not going to be able to come back to this one again. Because once you use that little motivational piece to get you fired up, then you can't come back to it. So now this is gone now. So you going up, turning on the fans or whatever, just saying whatever you had to say about the fans. All right, now that's gone. So what's going to be the next one?
All right, I don't know. But we'll find out. Because it's going to be something. As much as I just wish it was, my motivation is to win. My motivation is to be the defensive player of the year, the MVP and a champion and all that. Okay, cool. But that's still not enough for him. He needs the storyline. He needs people to think he's almost a bad guy, to be the villain, which is why I use that quote.
Well, just be a bad guy.
Yeah, apparently he can't just be a bad guy.
Just go
he
be
needs
a,
to say it.
Be a villain.
Nothing puts more pressure on yourself than telling somebody how great you are and then going out there and trying to be that great.
Yeah.
He needs to say it first. He needs to talk before he walks.
It's fine. Like, we're going to take it. We'll laugh at it high and all that. I'd like to look a little deeper into things. Like, you know, the I, me stuff, does it wear on teammates? Does having the constant story, having to surround him, have to, you know, is that going to wear on teammates? Like, I would have loved last night if he, when TNT comes to him and we know he's the story, if he would have said, man, did you see Ben Simmons play defense and distribute and rebound and score tonight? How great was he? He was awesome. Josh Richardson at full strength. Look how much better he makes this team. I'm so glad Al Horford is accepting this new position because that makes us a better team. Like, I would have loved that. Now, is that euphoria? Sure it is. No question. That's not Joel Embiid. But I think a tinge of that needs to creep into the Joel Embiid persona.
I think sorry for cussing.
But then that would almost make him kind of like, dare I say, a leader.
Dare you.
He wants no part of being a leader. And I don't say, look, some guys just aren't leaders. The worst thing is a guy who's not a leader trying to be a leader, right?
Hey,
I think we all we all know Joel Embiid's not, he's not a leader.
But he should be.
He's the I agree, he but be. He's a showman. He's not, you can be both, but he's not.
He's the mayor of Meetown.
He'd rather be the mayor of Meetown, yes. By the way, he did invoke, and I believe we have it right here, he did invoke the word championship in his press conference afterwards. So here he is after the game. During his press conference, he's addressing the media, and he's talking about how everything that he has done leading up to that point yesterday was all love, no hate involved. Here's Joel Embiid in his post-game press conference.
He's all love. I understand where they're coming from, but I do know that they got my back. I mean, through the injuries and what we've been through, I'm still here. This is still my city. This is still our city. So we're going to keep pushing and, you know, trying to win that championship.
So when he says they have my back, he's talking about the fans. He's talking about how it's all love with the fans, and they're going to go on and hopefully win that championship. So there's the other championship getting invoked there. Still all not right. enough motivation for Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not Bird.
He's a different character.
A little bit. Matt West Deptford, what's up, man?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
Doing great, brother. What's on your mind, man?
Listen, I couldn't believe last night, right? I went to the game. It said, the announcer said, zero injuries. I was shocked.
Oh,
listen, this team, right? They finally played basketball last night. They didn't just go down the court and jack up threes. Embiid got down low, got people in foul trouble, hit his free throws. Ben Simmons did his game, back-to-back triple-doubles. We know what we get out of him. Assists, rebound, points, what a gentleman said. Josh Richardson. Listen, Al Horford going to the bench. Finally, Coach Brown did something smart. This team could be scary. We got a whole second half to figure out the road. Woes.
Like a whole second half, yeah, kind of. I mean, the post All-Star break, it's weird though with this team that they have the motivation. I mean, talking about motivation for Joel Embiid, this whole team just seems better motivated at home. I don't know if it's the distraction of the road, whatever it could be, but I just feel like they have figured something out as a team with Al Horford coming off the bench. And that's not to say that Al Horford, as Brett Brown talked about last night when he talked about putting Al Horford on the bench, it wasn't all his fault. He's still a good player. He could still be a great player, great defender at least. They still have that on the bench. He could still be all that coming off the bench without clogging up the spacing that went on really early in games trying to watch these guys figure it out.
100%. 100% right. There's more spacing now for Embiid and Simmons and everyone else to do what they have to do. And also you got Matisse off the bench. Listen, this team will get it together. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy that Embiid, whatever you got to do, play, but I mean, it sucks that he has to go that far to the extreme to do that. But he needs to just man up and play plays like that. We got a good chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I hope that we look back, you know, hopefully in the playoffs, and we look back on this game against the Clippers before the All-Star break, where they had a nice test run with Al Horford coming off the bench, and it worked great. It really worked great. And Al Horford still played well in his minutes. He still played 28 of them last night. I hope we look back on this game as the game that things really changed for the Sixers.
Well, you have exactly one third of the season to figure it out. I mean, you have 27 games left. Okay, so that's how long you have. That's just about exactly one third of the season to figure out what you're going to do. And is it Glenn Robinson in the starting lineup? Are you using Horford the way you did last night? It's a shame that it comes to that, that it comes to just down to the last third of the season. But that's where you are. And maybe the newness of it will be beneficial to the team.
Matisse, Alec Burks, Al Horford, and Furkan Korkmaz. That would be your bench. Oh, Mike Scott.
No. Yeah, the Mike Scott experiment's over.
I agree with you. I'm just saying he's there.
He could be a specialist.
Yeah, I'm okay with him not seeing the floor anymore.
Yeah,
I think your rotation is set. The nine you saw last night with the real minutes, that is your playoff rotation.
And I think Glenn Robinson moves to the starting lineup.
I think he'll be the starting three. Korkmaz goes back to where he was thriving. And Al is the best backup center we've had ever.
Since Nerlens Noel.
Probably.
Yeah, so it just makes a lot of sense. It makes the whole team better. That is what you'll see in the playoffs, I think, last night with Glenn. The second half starters are what you'll see.
All right, let's get Tyreek up here. He's got something on, Bob, your I and me point. Tyreek, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
I got another point. But Bob, you talk about 37 seconds, you talk about 12 seconds of an interview that was geared toward him and his comments that he made the previous night. So, yes, the response is going to be a little bit of I, me.
Tyreek, I'm not just talking about that interview, but I'm just saying it's the constant I, me, my with him. It's always about him. I'm going to be better. I'm trying to be dominant. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Just once in a while, I'd like to hear a sprinkle in of, you know, somebody else.
This is a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
No, it's not. I said it's a minor little thing. I'm not busting on Joel Embiid, but...
All right, not so much that interview right there, but in general, if he doesn't talk about what he needs to do, how he needs to improve X, Y, and Z, then it's always doesn't acknowledge what he needs to do to improve. But when he says it, now he says it too much.
All right, so we'll just let him talk and we won't respond to it. Tyreek, is that good?
I think we should just let him talk because our job, well, you know, not title wise, but at the end of the game, we watch the game as fans, and as fans, as a fan for all my teams, my bottom line is wins. I can give a damn how you act on that court, as long as you help my team get a win. And I get bragging rights to talk about my team winning championships. Well, whatever the case may be, I'm fine with that.
Have they won enough for you this year, Tyreek?
No. But you know what?
Well, then there's something to talk about, isn't there?
But here's the thing with that. I thank the Eagles and the Phillies for that because I kind of conditioned myself not to get on that hype train that I was running with the Eagles and Phillies and watch the season for what it is, but it's in front of me. So, no, I'm not too upset. I understand what's happening, though. You see what I'm saying? But my thing is, you know, these people play. They play. They're entertainers, and this is their job, but they're entertainers. So they're figuring out the best way to go about doing their job. So as a fan, again, I just want you to win.
Right.
And you know what? I take you back real quick. I take you back because I also think it's a mindset thing, too, because I can get it because I was, you know, Eagles, Ricky Waters, who for what? Get his ass out of here. That's where I was then, but I was a young boy.
Right.
Now I'm older, and I look at it like, whatever. Just get me my win.
Okay, but Tyreek, even the for who for what moment was nowhere near the fan goading moment, intentional fan goading moment that Joel Embiid just gave us as a fan base for his own personal gain.
I'm looking at it like this. He's saying, Ricky, what? Saying, forget y'all, forget your fans, forget anybody. I'm not catching this ball for nobody. And B just said, shut up, just like I'm telling me to shut up, boy.
I'm not telling you to shut up. I'm not telling you that.
Your fans are saying a lot of things that he's saying. They said anything they want to say. So this man, for once, out of many times he's been ridiculed or whatever, I'm like I said, people had his back. But times people also ridicule him, too. So if he's entitled to fate. Come on. People
got
their skin sicker, man.
That's
okay. Yeah. He once wins, and my only point is this, and I'm not saying Joel Embiid sucks for whatever. I'm just saying that, like, okay, this whole I, me, my thing, and I'm going back years, uh-huh. And it's always been there. Maybe it wears on teammates a little bit, and maybe if he incorporated the, God, Ben is great, and he had a great game, maybe that helps teammates, and maybe there becomes like a cohesion that helps you get those things you want. Tyreek wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the I, me all the time thing doesn't go over so well with some teammates.
Maybe, yeah, maybe it doesn't, but I will say
this. That's not a huge thing. It's just an observation. That's
and how many of the teammates are hearing his post-game comments?
I think they've heard more than a few times. I just want to be dominant. I just want to be great. I just want to be MVP. Mm-hmm. I just want to be all defensive. You know, I think every once in a while they're like, "How about you say you want us to win a championship?"
Well, he said, "Seems to be, win a championship."
It's not on the front of the stove. That's on the back burner.
After the Defensive Player of the Year and MVP and All Star and all that fun stuff.
See, I'm just trying to be done.
When did Joe hurt you, Bob? What did he do?
Look, if Ricky Waters would have said,
"Oh my God," I really didn't want to go here.
Yeah, but no. But if he would have said, "For who? For what? When am I going to catch a ball for the fans?" Like, if he would have called him out, that would have been a little bit different. Like, it would have been 1,000 times worse. Joel would be literally told everyone to shut the bleep up and shut your mouth. Like that happened. And he got a standing ovation yesterday.
Yeah,
like it didn't happen out of the gate during intros. There was a smattering of boos. But it took all of not even a half a quarter for people to be cheering him.
Sure, he's built up what he's built up, and everyone loves him.
That's
the greatest thing in the world.
He's a master, and he enjoys every second of it.
And I don't want him anywhere else but in a Philadelphia uniform for the next 10, 15 years.
All right, coming up, we'll let you hear our conversation with Tobias Harris, able to catch up with him last night. Let you hear some very interesting things, especially about the head coach, about Joel Embiid's tweets. So much to get to with Toby coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the Morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so we caught up with Tobias Harris last night, and we have some highlights of that interview for you right now. We talked about Al Horford coming off the bench. We talked about Joel Embiid's post, which, Trey, I don't think you'll be surprised. They took it very serious in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Enough for Tobias. Well, I'll let you hear it from him himself. Talk about social media, and then I know you can always file this under, well, what's he gonna say?
Sorry for cussing.
Whenever you ask a player about a head coach, what are they gonna say? Yeah, the guy should probably be fired. You know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna happen. But I really like Tobias Harris's answer when it came to Brett Brown. We'll let you hear that in a second. But first up, here's Tobias Harris last night. This is exclusive audio that he spoke with us here. Tobias Harris on Al Horford coming off the bench and how he thought that really affected the starting five.
You know, I think just because they're a small ball team, that's why the change was made. So we kind of like matched up a little bit better with them. But I thought overall, you know, you see the last 5 minutes of the game, Al back out there. But I thought he did a great job with that role and be able to have the humility as a basketball player and a person to say, okay, let's try this and see how it works. So, you know, we got to win. And we, you know, Al is just trying to still continue to find his rhythm and whatnot, as we all are. So it was fine.
The humility of a veteran player now coming off the bench. That, you want to talk about a team guy? Bob, that's a team guy. That's a guy saying, I'll say this again. I talked to him in the locker room last night. You could tell he was not happy about it. It wasn't his priority, or wasn't, excuse me, his preference, excuse me, his preference to come off the bench.
Saying my prerogative?
But it's not his prerogative, but he did it. You know what I mean? He came off and he did it. And then he talked also about, I asked him about Joel Embiid's post, because I want to know how the players themselves kind of respond to it. It turns out it was taken a little bit more serious than even I thought, enough for Tobias Harris to reach out to Joel. Here's Tobias Harris when we asked him about last night.
It's more about, you know, us making sure that as a teammate, Joe is good, that he's in good spirits. And, you know, Joel is, at the end of the day, he's still a human. Humans have feelings and humans have emotions. And, you know, you can express those and not have to be ridiculed by people. So, you know, obviously, like, with his post, I called him and asked him, you know, just to check on him. And he was fine and in good spirits. And I keep it moving from there. Like, you know, it's not, people look too much into it sometimes. But at the end of the day, like, it is what it is.
Now, people look into it too much sometimes. But yet, he wanted to look into it for himself as a teammate and as a leader on this team. Because we also talked about leadership last night. He and Josh Richardson are the leaders of this team. That's it. Those are the leaders on this team. But he felt like he needed to do a little investigation himself to make sure this guy was all right.
That tells you that it wasn't received well by the players.
No. Yeah. No, it wasn't. And Bob, listen to this. So I asked him, I said, so you guys really didn't take it as a joke? And here's what Tobias Harris said about that.
Not really. I mean, nobody, you know, I discussed it with him and I kind of laid it to some, you know, the team, and we just keep it pushing. It's social media, and so many people take that, like, so literal, you know what I'm saying? Like, and at the end of the day, like, you can say whatever you want to say. He's a human.
Okay. Yeah, but you still were like, hey, man, we cool?
Yeah.
Everything all right? Yeah. Like, that definitely tells you, in the locker room, it raised their eyebrows. The fact that there was a flirtation there with Jimmy Butler, even though it was it was initiated by Jimmy Butler.
Right, and it's part of the reason why I raise the I me stuff isn't because I'm trying to go against Joel Embiid. I'm just trying to point out that players do hear these things. Players do react to these things. We think that they just, it's said, forget it, go out on the court and play. You know, like, Trey Thomas went out and played 180-some games with the Eagles, and sometimes his, you know, feelings were like, all right, what's going on here? It wasn't just the robot going out and killing people all the time. Like, there's things that go on, and what Tobias just said shows you that they hear what's being said. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason I'm saying, like, you know, maybe sometimes it gets the roll of the eye doesn't just come from us or the fans. Maybe it comes from teammates too.
Yeah, like, if I see that, I'm going right to the source and I'm going, yo, hey, just, I know betting money says nothing's happening here, but I just need to hear it from you. What's going on?
Yeah.
And Tobias Harris cared enough to reach out to Joel Embiid to say, hey, man, what's up? Is everything cool?
Yeah.
I mean, first off, that's a leader. And second, that just worries me a little bit that they didn't look at it and go, ha, 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 and then move on with their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, my point exactly. Right. Like, that doesn't happen as much as fandom would like it to.
All right, now here's the other thing. Trey, what do you think about Andy Reid?
I love him.
Oh, well, what are you going to say? Yeah. You played from all those years, right?
That's right.
Whenever you ask a player about a coach, especially a guy that's coaching the team right now, oh, what are they going to say? So I just asked Tobias, I said, Tobias, what do you say to people that say Brett Brown has lost the locker room? How would you respond to that criticism? And here's what Tobias Harris had to say.
Not for nothing, a coach is always going to have the locker room when, you know, when he has somebody, not to, you know, toot my own, but somebody like myself in the locker room, I'll make sure that this thing never falls over. And, you know, I hold everybody accountable. I try to hold myself accountable first, but he for sure has a locker room. We were trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah. I got it, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're coach, you lose the locker room. He's not going to lose the locker room on my time. is what he's saying right there. So he thinks that he can control the situation as one of the more veteran players on the team.
Good.
Like, you need somebody to feel like they have that type of control.
Well, I feel like him and Al Horford and even Richardson to a degree understand how hard it is. And I'm sure this is the most talented roster they've ever been on. So they feel that sense of, guys, we have something special here. We can't let this fall apart for something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great that they're stepping up and keeping that cohesiveness together, because that's crucial.
Like, Al Horford, I think, is the type of guy to lead by example. And I think this is the best example of that, and that he came off the bench, he played well, he did his role, he did his job, all of that. I don't think Al Horford's the type of guy to go like, hey, you listen to me, this is what we got to do. I think that more vocal leadership role goes to Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson. As a matter of fact, I don't even think that's what it is. I can tell you right now, after this conversation with Tobias Harris and being in the locker room last night, that's the impression that I got from everybody. And listening to Tobias Harris right there talk about how he's not going to let his head coach lose the locker room. Like, okay, call off the search. We were shocked, last week?
Yeah.
When we had
a few days ago.
Bobby Marks mm-hmm. on with us from ESPN talking to us about the trade deadline. And then, same show, we talked to Keith Pompey, and we talked to them each individually about who's the leader of this team, if there is one. Both said Josh Richardson. And I think Tobias Harris is definitely in that same role. As a matter of fact, I don't think I'm letting out too much information. Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris came over during that interview last night, and they got together a little bit and they had a little conversation. What they're doing over the
the parents in the room.
They're pretty much is what was going on
well,
there.
The kids were good tonight. Maybe we can stop and get some ice cream on the way home.
You need to yell at Ben, and you need to give a stern look to Joel Embiid, real quick.
Before I tuck him in, I'll tell him things need to do. That was good. Now build on it.
But I'm surprised you didn't get run over last night while you were in the locker room.
Why? What do you mean? What happened?
Because after the game, they're on vacation. Kidding you, man. Well, like I remember that last game. You'd run in there and like, gosh, just give us one side. I mean, they had their bags around their shoulders ready to run you over to get to where they wanted to be.
Yeah, bye week. What? Do not talk to me.
Later.
Do not exist. I am out.
Yeah. Tobias Harris, as I'm going into the locker room, I'm hearing one of the PR people say to Tobias, so if you do this, I'm not going to call you over the next week or text you. You enjoy your All-Star weekend.
That's great.
Your All-Star week.
Well, I saw Josh Richardson went home and celebrated with some cereal. He tweeted out a picture of his cereal cabinet. It was about five or six different boxes, some Frosted Flakes, some Cinnamon Toast Crunch, some Cookie Crisp. I broke it down.
Does that guy know how to party or what?
And he said, I got choices tonight.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I said, you go celebrate with some cereal.
Get you a big bowl of Frosted Flakes. They're great.
Hell yeah. You know what I like that's underappreciated art form?
What's that?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.